believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Ferndale, Michigan, opened a pizza parlor and later a barbecue restaurant. He started making fresh salsa in the back of his restaurant. In 1997, at age 44 and $400,000 in debt, he closed the restaurant and began selling fresh salsa full-time under the name Garden Fresh Gourmet Inc. Today, it's the number one all-natural refrigerated salsa company in America. His name, Jack Aronson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're talking to Jack Aronson, the founder and CEO of Garden Fresh Gourmet Inc. Jack, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
And thanks for bringing in the salsas and the chips. So, can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Yeah, I grew up not far from Fisher here in Highland Park. Was born in Detroit. My first 12 years of my life, I lived on Colorado in Highland Park. My mother came to Detroit with her father when she was about 23 years old. My grandfather knew there was opportunities at Hudson Motors here, so he was a watermelon farmer in Arkansas, came up to work at Hudson Motors. My father was a butcher in the Bronx and came up to work, get a better life working at Hudson Motors here, and met my grandfather at Hudson's and started driving together, met my mother, and they got married about a year or two later.
What's the biggest things you learned from your mom and your dad?
Well, work ethic. My dad worked at Chrysler afternoons, so we didn't get to see my father much except for on weekends. And if you work Saturday, we only got to see him on Sunday. But great provider, loved to shop, would go to all the different markets all over Detroit and dragged me as a child. I was with my mother and father. And my mother was a good cook, brought some great Southern cooking into our life. So we had a little Southern cooking and a little bit of New York influence that my father's family had taught my mother. And there was a big love of food in our family.
You're a great athlete. You go to a small college in Arkansas on a basketball scholarship. Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, I went originally to Arkansas State University, and I enrolled in a pre-med program. And during the summer, I was playing in a basketball league, and a coach from a small college, I think I scored about 28 points, they offered me a basketball scholarship. So the next year, I went to Crowley's Ridge State College in Arkansas and continued my my major, and only stayed 1 year. I got married, dropped out, came back, started working for Chrysler here in Detroit on Warren Avenue. I mean, I'm sorry, the Connor plant. My dad worked at Warren Stamping. I worked over at Connor, Mac Avenue Stamping.
How'd you ever get into the restaurant business?
Well, I went to, when I was in college, I actually got a part-time job working at St. Bernard's Hospital. And I was the one that pushed those big carts up with all the food in them. And I started tinkering. It was myself and about 18 middle-aged women. And they took me under their wing and they showed me different They fed me a lot, I tell you that. I ate real well in college. But I had about 18 mother figures there and started tinkering in the food. And when I came back and worked here, I was working with a friend at a pizzeria called Gino's out in Waterford. And I went from delivering to actually managing that place. And from there, I opened my place in Ferndale.
So that's the late 70s. You opened this Rocky's Pizza.
Right.
Where'd you get the name Rocky's Pizza?
You know, we wanted an Italian name. And Rocky Balboa was real famous about that time. So we decided to call it Rocky's. We were kicking around Giuseppe's and all these Italian names, and Rocky's just fit.
And then in 88, you opened a barbecue restaurant. Why?
You know, it's funny. I had, at that point, I had a window cleaning business, and I had helped a friend sell another restaurant. I worked there for about a year to help him build up a restaurant, a piece of property on Michigan Avenue, and to sell it. And I had a window cleaning business. I had about 1,000 residential homes I did. And I went into a fish and chip place in Ferndale. It was called Heather Hills. It had been there, a Scottish family, for 25 years. They had sold it to one of their nieces. It was ready to close down. And I had a meal there, and the girl told me she was probably going to be open only another week or two. And I asked if she it was for sale. And the next thing you know, I was the owner of a fish and chip restaurant.
How did you ever get into the salsa, your love for salsa?
Well, I liked hot and spicy foods. I loved good salsa. You go to a restaurant and get a great salsa, and I would tinker a little bit. But when I went to the, I started selling hot sauces out of the front of my restaurant. And when I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to actually go to the Fiery Food Show to purchase some of these hot sauces, I had such wonderful fresh salsa. So I came back and started making fresh salsa for myself, and then I started selling it in front of the restaurant, and it became surprisingly popular very quickly.
It's 1997. You're 44 years old. You're $400,000 in debt. You've got a wife and five children, and you decide to close the dining room and turn it into a salsa operation.
Yeah, my family, they thought I had lost it at that point. I think they thought I was pretty crazy.
What'd your mother-in-law tell you?
You know, it was a risk, but, you know, I was always somewhat of a risk taker. I had developed a few products, and I was always thinking about this would be a great thing to do or start a catering. I had started doing some catering out of the restaurant, quite a bit, actually. And I never in my wildest dreams, I thought it would possibly produce more cash than the dining room was at that time. Little did I know that we'd become, you know, a regional than a national player. I was hoping to become a pretty strong local player, hopefully.
Oh, how did you convince your wife and your kids?
Well, you know, once we started, right away the sales picked up, and I was doing everything myself. I was making the salsa, packaging the salsa, labeling it by hand. I got a couple accounts. I started delivering the salsa, and we started getting so many accolades. I sent a couple of salsas to the Fiery Food Show hoping to get an honorable mention, and we swept first, second, and third with mild, medium, and hot. And we really thought we had something, you know, special at that moment. And my wife just pitched right in. She wasn't didn't actually love the restaurant business, but she made sure everything was done properly and cleaned properly, and she really was the quality control of our business early on.
We're talking to Jack Aronson, and his salsa was the first all-natural fresh salsa to go nationwide. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
We're with Jack Aronson, who started making fresh salsa in the back of his restaurant. One day, you meet a man named Jim Hiller. Changes your life.
Yeah, we had opened up a little hot sauce store in Royal Oak called The Hot Zone. And Mr. Hiller happened to be out in Royal Oak one evening, stopped by and actually talked to my brother first. My brother was running the retail store over there. Had the salsa and said, I've been in the grocery business 30 years. You know, his father had started the supermarkets, and said, I've never had a good salsa, and this is the best I've ever had. So I called Mr. Hiller the next day, and he said, I'd like you to package this salsa. I'd like you to sell it in my stores. And we had only sold it in the restaurant and at in Royal Oak on the Hot Zone. So that's when I decided to shut the dining room, close the dining room, and set up a little salsa operation in there. I went and got a Department of Agriculture license, had them come in and tell me the requirements, and we met most of them having the restaurant there. And we started producing fresh salsa for Mr. Hiller's stores. And I went actually door-to-door and picked up about 70 accounts over the next 2 months without one rejection. So that was a pretty easy thing to sell at that time.
how and why did you ever start making your own tortilla chips?
Well, actually another Detroit institution. I went to Rocky's Peanut. And Rocky, I had made tortilla chips in the restaurant, fried them, cut the tortillas and fried them fresh and brought them down for my demo. And Rocky said, listen, everybody's asking me for your chips. You know, the salsa's selling great, but now people are asking me for your chips. So I go back and I buy another fryer and I start frying chips. And boy, it was not the easiest thing in the world, because before you know it, we're in these 70 stores and I've got a bank of 10 deep fryers. And it's almost like the Lucy and Ethel segment. You've got to throw the tortillas in one and stir it up and get to the next and throw the next one in. And the time you get down to the 10th one, the first one's done. So you have to shake it and drop it behind you in a steel bin, load it back with tortillas and get number two. And there is no time for anything else or you'll burn tortilla chips. So a lot of burns later, we're producing tortilla chips. And we didn't get an automatic line until we were over £1 million a year in sales. We did them that way, with those 10 deep fryers for the first year.
How many pounds of chips are you producing today, per day?
Well, we're doing about 5 million pounds annually right now, and that's going to probably double within the next year.
Amazing. It's 1891. William Wrigley Jr. moves from Philadelphia to Chicago to start selling soap. And as a way to entice people to buy it, he starts giving away free baking soda powder. And eventually people say, we like the baking soda powder, but the soap ain't that good. So he quits manufacturing soap, goes full-time with the baking soda powder. And as a way to entice customers, he then starts to give away gum. People love the gum. They say baking soda powder was okay. So he forgets that, and he starts producing gum. The rest is history. You have a similar story. Talk to us about each one of us having a plan in God's master plan, figuring out what it is, accepting it, and doing it to our best.
Well, you know, as far as risk goes, I'll start with risk a little bit. Yeah, I was a risk taker, but you know, I had the restaurant. I didn't throw every card I had into a pile. Yeah, I did take a huge risk with a lot of the income that we were bringing in, which we needed at that time, with the salsa. But I'm always, when there's a dream, I always say try to grasp your dream. We and the you know, it wasn't easy to convince people. That's you're going to have your skeptics. You're going to have people that tell you, you can't, this is never going to be bigger than your restaurant. Because, you know, there's restaurants, Mexican restaurants all over the country that have fresh salsa. Why don't they take it out? Because there's no shelf life. They can only be very centralized. They can never be regional. So we were told, I was told by even people I met in the business, you're never going to be able to sell a product with a 30-day, 40-day shelf life. You're going to have to put preservatives in it. You're not going to be able to do an all-natural product. And I thought the product was so good that if you couldn't sell it in 30 days, you shouldn't be selling it. And that was really our goal in the beginning was, let's get this in people's mouths. I did demos all the time. We made the product, we sold the product, we delivered the product, and we did the demos on the weekends. When we weren't working, we were out at Rocky Peanut or Hiller's or the Nino Savaggio or one of the stores, Papa Joe's. And we had so many gourmet stores. Are we ever going to get into a big store? And I met with Bob Summers, was the vice president of Meijer's. And he loved the product, and he told me point blank, I've had 30 years of failures with fresh salsa. One after another, they had never used an all-natural. It was just preservative-based. And I came back to that meeting. He said, I'll give you a shot. Well, that really worries you. You've had 30 years of failures before you, and that's laid out on the table, 30 years. So that you really see what's in front of you. You know, you've got all this history of bad salsa, but we knew we had a great product, And we felt that if we got it in people's mouths, that was going to be the biggest sales thing we could do. Even better, you know, that we figured than advertising. That was our best advertisement. But it's probably the best thing we ever did, because nobody had ever done even a regional all-natural salsa. So when we look back, it's probably the hardest thing that we had in front of us was getting this out and making this viable for a supermarket so they wouldn't have spoilage and blow-ups and everything else.
We're talking to Jack Aronson. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how does one seize their dream? And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Jack Aronson, the founder and CEO of Garden Fresh Gourmet. Jack, for a listener out there tonight that says, I have a dream, but I have a family, I don't have any money, what do you say to that person about seizing their dream?
Well, there's different levels of risk. You know, I had a restaurant, so I did have some income coming in. And I always say it's hard. People can't just quit their job, throw in the towel, and go. That works sometimes. But I think you need something to fall back on. But you do need to take that first step and that risk. And I think it's the love and the passion. If you can bring that, if you can put your passion into whatever you're selling and get that, I think that's the most important thing. I mean, I think the demos built our business. We could, even better than TV advertising, getting out there, meeting people, letting them try the product. Now, if the product wasn't any good, I was just going to sell it that one time. I wasn't going to sell it again. But when you have a product or a service that that you really think we're ready for, the country's ready for, go at it. Even though you're only doing it part-time, maybe you have another job, you really have to put the time into it. You have to really get your entire passion and, you know, keep a work ethic, move forward. And I think that's even more important than data is passion, what you bring to people when you meet them.
There's a saying that success is a journey, not a destination. What do you say about that?
I agree, because you learn. We have learned so much. When I look back and when I started, you chuckle a little bit, because if it's you're always moving forward. You never want to, stay in one place. That's one thing about success is once you get a little success, you want more, or you want to bring your product to another state or another country. You know, it almost becomes a little part of you. It can never become all of you. You know, family and people and the people you work with should be the number one focus. But I agree. It's an ever-changing journey on a daily basis. Enjoy it. Never get so embroiled in a thing that you don't enjoy it.
It appears that everything Jack Aronson touches turns to gold. It appears like you never make any mistakes. You never have any setbacks. You're magical.
I don't know where you're getting your information, but, I've had, I developed the cream cheese and salsa, and, for a year I made this product and I didn't like it. And, it's just funny. One day I'm in bed, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what? This is a better way to do this. But I do love food. I love food. I love cooking for people, because I think food is such a powerful thing in all our lives, with family getting together and breaking bread and having long dinners. And I don't think we do enough of it. I've been to Europe a few times, and whoa, they really take time for their dinners and their family. And a lot of my friends with ethnic backgrounds, when you go there, all the family comes over every Sunday and eats. And I try to put products that you would make at home and try to get them out in the marketplace, and I've been fortunate to be able to do that. But we've been lucky. But we've worked hard. We have a great team. That the people. It's not just about me. I've got such unbelievable people that I've become associated with. It's been probably the most satisfying part of this journey, and to get to work with my kids. Four of my children have key positions, and to get to work with them and see them grow, just to stand back, it's probably the most fulfilling thing my wife and I do.
We're talking to Jack Aronson. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Jack Aronson, and his firm, Garden Fresh Gourmet, sells 80,000 16-ounce units of salsa each day. That's a lot of salsa. That's a lot of tomato. In the last segment, you were talking about food and family. This coming Thursday is the holiday in the country that's all about food and family, Thanksgiving. Jack Aronson, what are you most thankful for in your life?
Family. You know, our kids and grandkids have been healthy. Everybody's doing well. But, and friends. You know, friends are so forgiving, you know, no matter how crazy you might act at a Christmas party or, you know, or a football game or something like that. You know, it's when you look back on friendships, I think it's the most rewarding thing in life, you know, friendships.
As a business, when you started in 97, if you made a $50 mistake, that was big. Then you got wiser, smarter, you know, you get all these accountants, lawyers. Then it was a $500 mistake, then a $5,000, then a $50,000. It's just more zeros on the mistakes. Talk about learning to forgive yourself and your employees for making mistakes.
Well, nobody was greener in this business than myself. And it's funny, the team we put together. You know, our chief financial officer was an ex-IRS, Division I chief. Dave Zilkel, my partner, and he was making mustard, Mucky Duck mustard. Now he's our vice president of sales nationwide. My kids, my daughter worked for the sheriff's department. Now she's the head of human resources. I made plenty of mistakes, and we brought in people that we knew were going to make mistakes. We weren't hiring an expert in a certain area. We were just hiring good people, and we've been lucky. We've been fortunate because people have been able to grow and learn their jobs. But my company, the people are the most, I feel are the most important thing. If our truck driver hits a deer, which happened on I-75 one day, and one of my first deliveries to Myers destroyed the tractor, about $20,000, you know, our main concern was, is the driver okay? The driver was fine. We talked to the state police, but we got a tow truck to come and pick up the truck, tow it to Myers, back it in the dock and load it, then take it to the garage. I think that was one of the most weird requests this tow driver said he's ever tow truck driver said he's ever had. But I was a restaurant owner, and then I'm thrust into a million-dollar business, so I made plenty of mistakes. And we've built a pretty darn good team on, you know, people learning as they go, I should say, on-the-job training.
Rumor has it that you offered that tow truck driver free salsa for life if he got that truck to Myers. One day a month, you cook lunch, a barbecue lunch, for your 225 employees. Why?
Well, you know, I love cooking. You know, I used to cook every day for 17 hours a day some days, you know, on holidays, weekends. So now when I get to cook, it's absolutely for pleasure. People ask me, do you miss the restaurant business? I go, you know, I don't miss cooking on holidays and weekends and everything else, but I do miss cooking. And I think what a better way to show our team members and to thank them than for me getting out there and barbecuing for the employees. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest things you can do to thank somebody is to actually cook for them.
You know, Mike and Marian Illich are famous as a team. Your wife Annette works with the company. What's her role?
You know, Annette is multifunctional. She is probably one of the cleanest people you'll ever meet. But Annette will get out on any given day, including yesterday and the day before, and actually work on a line and do the crummiest jobs, the hardest jobs, and give people breaks. And she's probably has one of the finest work ethics I've ever seen in a person. And her passion, you know, she loves the company, she loves the employees, and you know, she's the matriarch of the company. When an employee has an issue, it really affects her emotionally. And as we've got now 230 employees, you know, we had an employee a couple weeks ago that their son died of a heart attack. And, you know, Annette's known him since he was a child. So it really extends your family. And Annette is really, really involved emotionally with every employee, I believe.
I asked her recently, what do you love most about the guy? She said, what's there not to love, Jack? She says, he's got a huge heart. Everybody that knows you, nicest guy in the world. You're too nice to be successful in business. A lot of people feel you got to be a shyster, ruthless to be successful in business. How have you been successful and so nice?
Well, you know, I think I took a hit early on. It was really funny because I'd give everybody a chance. If somebody just got out of prison when I had my restaurant and it wasn't a violent crime, you know, I would give them a chance in my restaurant. It was really funny because I had a lot of buddies I played softball with that were police officers, and they go, you know, you should get the Mother Teresa Award because, you know, you've got half the felons in the county working for you. And it wasn't that bad, but, you know, I try to give everybody a chance, first of all, and I've been rewarded with people that just got their GED, working up their ranks and being in an unbelievable performer and a great manager and a great mentor to other people. And that's really, really, really fulfilling for me. I am not the whatever it takes, profits, profits, profits. My success has been the people and the people I'm associated with. So I think that's probably been my success is, you know, trusting in people, and I've gotten a lot of rewards for the people that have worked for me.
Becoming the best is extremely hard to do, Jack. Staying the best is even harder. How are you going to stay the top-rated, number one, all-fresh refrigerated salsa company in the world?
Well, you know, that's funny because it does put a lot of pressure on you. You know, we won 24 awards at a show last year, which is the most in history. And this year I'm saying, you know, what more can we do? And we just won 30 2 weeks ago. But, you know, it's you know, there's a little bit of pressure there to stay number one. But the main thing is do the best product that you can possibly do. Make something that people can't get anywhere else. And always be innovative. You know, we've got a whole lot of new products coming out. Exciting products that I'm really excited about.
We're talking to Jack Aronson, who's also a world-class softball player at the age of 54. Annette's on the line, cutting the tomatoes, and he's winning ribbons at softball tournaments. It's a great partnership. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Jack Aronson of Garden Fresh Gourmet. Today, their salsa is the number one seller at Meijer's, Costco, Kroger's, Publix, Wegman. They sell it in 5,000 stores throughout America. Jack, your culture is a family culture. When you walk me through the plant, you don't have employees. You have friends. You have family. They love you. They love you, especially when you cook the barbecue one day a week, or one day a month. What do you say to people who say, as you keep getting bigger, you're going to lose that family culture?
Well, I certainly am going to try to not to do that. And I don't think we will, because we try to trickle it down from the top. And we have wonderful supervisors. We have people that have grown through our ranks, from a boxer to a line leader to an assistant supervisor to a supervisor. And I think that's a big part of our success, is promoting from within, not bringing people in from outside. And, we reward the people that perform. And I think that we've been fortunate to get a culture in our plant. I mean, they love when we win the awards. They love we put all the newspaper articles on board. Every time they hear that we've won a show, everybody applauds. We're really trying to get a gung-ho attitude. But I think it starts from the top. And I think all of our management feels the same way, from the top to the bottom, that we're all on a team and we're all on a journey together.
This year you'll do $42 million in revenue. Dave Zilko says, we'll do 75 next year, Jack. Why not sell the business and get rich?
You know, it's funny, because when my wife and I said, boy, when we do $1 million, we're going to sell this business. And then we changed that to, when we do $5 million, we're getting out. And then it was, when we do $10 million, for sure, we're done, we're going to retire, and that's it. But it's just way past the money at this point. In the beginning, it was money, because we owed so much money. And I looked like I was going to be in the restaurant working until about, I think I projected about 77 years old. So I was going to be a little late on that. My legs were getting a little tired, especially the knees. But it's way past that now. The enjoyment now is the family. And, the people I get to work with every day, it's such a big part of, you know, our culture, you know, our people and their lives and their children. And when we get together and have parties, it's such a wonderful thing. It's even more important than the sales or anything, is to be with this culture of these fine people I get to work with every day.
You've just cut a deal with a fella named Jimmy Buffett. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Jimmy Buffett has a Margaritaville label out there that's just unbelievable. It's the number one grossing restaurant in Las Vegas. It's the number one grossing in Orlando, which in itself is unbelievable. Harrah's is going to open up a new Margaritaville casino, one in Biloxi in Mississippi and one in Dubai. And they've got the number one margarita mix in the country. And they know that salsa is a part of that passion of the weekend getaway or the party with friends. And they interviewed 10 of the best companies in the country. And they loved our culture. Jimmy Buffett himself, who I've met, is just one of the most unbelievable human beings. He orders his food for the people that work with his concert. There's 200 of them. He orders the food, has it catered, and he eats the same thing that the people do. And he is one of the most beloved people, not only from his fans, but the people that work with him. You know, I can only hope to ever be like him in that category. But we're going to do a line of products for him. He loves our products, his group, the Margaritaville group, and we're going to launch March 1st.
You've committed to 12 new dips and sauces. Jack, there's just so many permutations of what you can do with a tomato, an onion, artichoke, garlic. When are you going to run out of different options here to produce new sauces?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of things in the works, and there's probably about 20 different things that I want to do that other people aren't doing. And we're doing some unique things to certain foods that we really think is going to be really big changes in the food industry. And I think we've got a lot more things to put out there. I think we'll surprise you next year.
How long does it take you to come up with a new sauce, and how many tens of thousands of dollars do you spend coming up with each new sauce?
Well, it's not, you know, I'm the only product and development guy. You know, we have companies come in. We've had some billion-dollar companies make offers for us, and we're not interested in selling, but they find it hard to believe that the president is the only product development guy on staff. And it's something I love to do and something I think I have a knack for. But I think that we're going to be able to, do quite a few more recipes here shortly.
Is it true that many times you come up with a new sauce within 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, sometimes I hit it right on the first time, and sometimes I tinker with it and put it off the back shelf for 4 months, and then 6 months later I come and I nail it right on the head.
Recently, you and your team built a healing garden at Children's Hospital of Michigan, and you entitled it the Garden Fresh Healing Garden. Why?
We donate some of our proceeds from the sales of our products to Children's Hospital. We got involved with their music program with the children, and we've taken many tours there. And Dr. Herman Gray, the president, is one of the most wonderful people. From him on down, talk about a trickling effect. The things they do at that hospital is nothing short of a miracle. And we asked, what more can we do? And we found out that they were one of the top 10 children hospitals in the country that didn't have a healing garden. And studies show that kids that can get outside and interact outside with their families have shorter hospital stays and heal quicker. So when they brought this project to us, we felt that we could make this commitment over the next 4 years to meet the needs for this garden, and it was probably one of the most humbling things we've ever done, and one of the most rewarding, certainly.
Jack Aronson, what role has faith played in your life?
A lot. You know, we always believe what I try to live my life, what goes around comes around. And I believe the more that you give of yourself to people, the more that you're going to get rewarded. But that's not the only reason you should do it. I mean, just the relationships you make are probably one of the most rewarding things in life.
The hot thing today is organic. you put the word organic on the bananas and the price triples. You claim you've gone into the organic game. What's the difference between organic and natural?
Well, we're certified. We got certified by CSI, one of the largest in the nation. They're the ones that did Whole Foods. We are. We have to buy organic produce to produce an organic product, and those are without pesticides or anything artificial. And whatever if we sell 1 million units of organic, we better have receipts to show we bought 1 million pounds of organic produce. But they're great, sustainable products, healthy and preservative free.
Last question: what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Have faith in any product you do. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in the things that you're going to accomplish. Make sure it's something that people want or that people need. You can make the greatest product in the world, but if nobody buys it, it's not going to help pay the bills. So I think passion, love, and I think people see that from the top all the way down to the buyer at the supermarket, the passion you bring, even in a demo.
Jack Aronson, thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for seizing your dream and being open to a different way. And you've changed the lives for hundreds of employees and their families and a lot of bellies in this country, too.
Thank you.
Our guest next Sunday will be the founder of Citadel of Faith Covenant Church, Pastor Harvey Carey. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spock.
Yeah. What else do you believe you to? Looks like